Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Sergio Rios, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Friday, November 29, 2024. We'll have news, sports, music. Today will be marking an important anniversary, on the anniversary of the release of Almendra's debut album. Almendra is one of the leading bands, the founding bands of Argentine rock music, led by the late Luis Alberto Spinetta. Their debut album was released exactly 55 years ago on November 29, 1969. And this is a turning point in the history of rock music in Argentina. We'll also be sharing with you part two of Dear Buenos Aires, a documentary on the sights and attractions of the Argentine capital. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way is okay for sending reception reports if you are at the EXA. This show airs on the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, frequency 5850 kHz, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar, as well as our app for mobile devices that you can download for free. It's available for Apple and Android phones. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. Lawmakers fail to debate a proposal to bar convicted candidates from elections. The government considers eliminating gender quotas for public jobs. Brazilian President Lula asserts there was an attempted coup against him. Venezuelan opposition claims Argentina's embassy in Caracas remains under police blockade. Argentina will export gas to Brazil using Bolivian pipelines. Sports. Lionel Messi, along with other Argentines, is nominated again for FIFA's The Best Awards. And these are the news. A proposal to bar candidates convicted by the judiciary from running in elections has stalled in Congress. The initiative, known as the Clean Record Bill, failed to secure the necessary quorum for debate in the lower house. This means the proposal will have to return to committee discussions. The draft, driven by PRO, the party of former President Mauricio Macri, had support from other political forces. Media reports highlighted the absence of many lawmakers from the ruling coalition in the failed session. The opposition alliance Unión por la Patria, Union for the Homeland, opposes the measure, arguing it aims only to block former President Cristina Fernández de Kirchner from running. She faces multiple corruption charges but claims to be innocent, describing herself as a victim of lawfare. The Milei administration is considering abolishing quotas for minority groups in state employment. This was revealed by official spokesperson Manuel Adorni on social media. Argentina does not recognize privileges based on ancestry, birth or religion. All citizens are equal before the law, he stated. And he added that the government aims to remove criteria for public employment, which is unrelated to the qualifications of individuals. This would effectively end quotas for women, transgender individuals and other minorities as part of measures that were implemented originally to guarantee diversity in the national public administration. Argentina's embassy in Caracas, Venezuela remains under local police blockade. This was denounced by one of five opposition leaders who have taken refuge at the diplomatic seat since last year. In a post on X, Pedro Urruchurtu also claimed the embassy has been left without electricity and running water, with services reportedly cut off by authorities. The five opposition members sought refuge in the embassy, hoping for safe passage to Buenos Aires, but Venezuelan authorities have yet to grant it. The embassy is currently managed by Brazil, following Argentina's personnel was demanded to leave the country earlier this year. This diplomatic rift followed Argentina's refusal to recognize Nicolás Maduro as the winner of Venezuela's July 28 elections. Brazilian President Lula da Silva affirmed no one can deny there was an attempt to overthrow him. During a speech, he stated, "They tried to stage a coup to stop us from taking office." He referred to the events of January 8, 2023, when thousands of supporters of former President Jair Bolsonaro stormed government buildings in Brasilia. Investigations reveal plans to prompt military intervention to oust Lula, who had taken office just a week earlier. Nearly 40 people have been charged in connection to the events, including Mr. Bolsonaro, police officers and military personnel. It is to be noted that authorities are investigating a separate assassination attempt following his election victory in October 2022. Argentina will export gas to Brazil via Bolivian pipelines. Bolivia's state oil company YPFB has agreed to follow the use of its infrastructure for these shipments. The company's chairman, Armin Dorgathen, made the announcement this week at an energy forum held in the city of Santa Cruz de la Sierra, eastern Bolivia. "We will promote the efficient flow of gas between Argentina and Brazil, leveraging existing infrastructure and strengthening regional cooperation," he affirmed. Brazil will receive thus gas from Vaca Muerta, one of the world's largest unconventional hydrocarbon reserves located in Patagonia. Bolivia's network of pipelines extends over 1,000 kilometers, enabling this new arrangement. And now, sports. Lionel Messi is once again a contender for FIFA's The Best Awards, nominated for Best Player of the Year. The nominees, announced Thursday, include several Argentines besides the national team captain. Coach Lionel Scaloni is in the running for Best Manager, following the team's second consecutive Copa America title this year. Emiliano Martinez, in turn, is among the nominees for Best Goalkeeper. Other Argentine candidates include forwards Lautaro Martinez and Germán Cano, midfielders Luciano Acosta and Thiago Almada, and defender Nicolas Otamendi. For the first time, fan votes on FIFA's website will hold equal weight to those of journalists, team captains, and coaches of national teams in determining the winners. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentine vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentine.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
And we're gonna be now sharing a song by George Harrison on the occasion of his death anniversary. Exactly 23 years ago, George passed after struggling with cancer, and he was 58. He passed away on November 29, 2001. Let us play a song by him featuring the distinctive slide guitar sound that he used a lot in his solo albums of the early 1970s. This song is from his album is from the album Living in the Material World, which was released in 1973. This was the first single and it's called Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth.
RAI Argentina to the World presents Almendra, foundational and essential record of Argentine rock.
Ana no duerme, espera el día, sola en su cuarto. Ana quiere jugar.
Voted on many occasions as the most important record of Argentine rock history. Almendra was published in January 1970 by the band of the same name, integrated by four young neighbors of the Belgrano City neighborhood in Buenos Aires. Almendra was the first long play by the group and it contained one of the most dearest songs of the local rock, Less, Eye of Paper, as well as other songs such as Fermin, Prayer for the Sleeping Child, Anna Doesn't Sleep, or There Laura Goes. The members of the Almendra group, considered the foundational Argentine rock band, were Luis Alberto Spinetta, Emilio del Guercio, Edelmiro Molinari and Rodolfo Garcia. The group was born in 1967 and separated in 1970. Let's listen to Emilio del Guercio, the bass and choir man, explaining the way the band was born.
De repente, la gente se junta.
Out of the blue, people get together. Life brings them together, as it did with Luis and myself. We were schoolmates, and then Edelmiro came, who was my brother's schoolmate, and Rodolfo, who was also Lou's friend, because they knew each other from their neighborhood. And, well, life brought us together, and at a certain moment we lived the experience of modeling a language which really exceeded us.
Somos seres humanos, sin saber lo que es hoy, un ser humano.
Eager readers and art consumers in general, the young friends were also fans of the Beatles, of Astor Piazzolla's tango, and of Argentine folklore interpreter Cuchi Leguizamón. And when the radio host of a popular folklore program heard them for the first time, he proposed to them to register some samples, which, in turn, would take them to the recording of their first LP.
Vida y sangre. Ardor, no hace falta, hay calor.
The four musicians were young and with no experience in recording studios, but the vocal arrangements surprised the public for their maturity and portrayed them as excellent performers. Most compositions belong to Luis Alberto Spinetta. The first track of the record was and still is one of the anthems of Argentine rock. Last As of Paper, written by Luis Alberto Spinetta, also playing the guitar and singing.
Muchacha, ojos de papel, ¿a dónde vas? Quédate hasta el alba. Muchacha, pequeños pies, no corras más. Quédate hasta el alba. Sueña un sueño despacito entre mis manos, hasta que por la ventana suba el sol. Muchacha, piel de rayón, no corras más. Tu tiempo es hoy. Y no hables más, muchacha.
Composer Luis Alberto Spinetta recalls the moment of the creation of the song.
Viste que muchacha es Cristina.
The lass is Cristina, our friend, who was also my girlfriend. She was also my first wife. At that moment, she was very special, and the song tried to express that. Love materialized into a relation for the first time. Therefore, the song is embodied in the eternal feeling. Let's say, one feels for those one loves.
Uno siente por las personas que ama.
Among the many anecdotes that nourish the story of this recording, we find the one related to the long play cover. The band members did not want a photograph published, neither as a group nor as individuals, as it was customary. Then, a drawing by Luis Alberto Spinetta himself, that the record house took time to accept, was used. The drawing was a human cartoon, a little ridiculous man who, according to the artist, represents the figure of the idiot, a clown who let roll down a tear of 1,000 years held under his left eye, which brought the songs the band was there to sing.
Plegaría para un niño dormido. Quizás tenga flores en su ombligo.
And if it is possible to consider the drawing innocent, we must remember it was done by Spinetta, who was only 19 at the time. As a matter of fact, the word ingenuity is used by another member of the band, Edelmiro Molinari, to talk about that group experience.
Las cosas salían con una ingenuidad increíble, ¿no?
Things were made from an incredible ingenuity. See the ingenuity of children when they are born? Almendra started that way, as if we were four-year-old kids who were just born and we threw ourselves into the world in that condition. We lasted 2 to 3 years. That is, when the ingenuity was over, we became enraged fish, Aquelarre, and Human Color, our following musical groups. The album Almendra is integrated by 9 tracks. 7 out of them belong to Spinetta, 1 to Edelmiro Molinari and another to Emilio Del Guercio. The sound of the record reflects a variety of influences that go from tango to folklore to Sgt. Pepper by the Beatles. Recorded in 1969 at a time of strong social and political upheavals in Argentina and the world, that scenario would also have a strong influence on the members of Almendra when creating that first record. According to Spinetta's words, these songs were composed at a time when we believed that our songs would change the world. But that was not true. Don't forget that ours was simply a decorative art. It always was, and it will always be. Painters, sculptors, writers, and musicians, we are decorators of the rest. Fantastic, which is life.
Figúrate que pierdes la cabeza. Sales a la calle. Sin embargo, el mundo sigue bajo el sol.
An important data to properly measure the importance of this record is that besides having been considered the 6th best album of Argentine rock on the list of their 100 best, elaborated by the Rolling Stone magazine, almost all the songs that integrated became memorable samples of that genre. It is the case of the already heard Les Eyes of Paper, and among others, Anna Doesn't Sleep.
Anna no duerme, espera el día, sola en su cuarto. Anna quiere jugar sobre la alfombra, toca su sombra, cuenta las luces, mira la gran ciudad.
The record Almendra has been said to be the most relevant in Argentine rock. And of all the songs in the LP, There, Laura Goes represents a special case due to the extraordinary arrangements written by guitar player and orchestra conductor Rodolfo Alchurón. But, besides, due to the appropriate presence of a bandoneon in a song reminiscent of tango.
Laura va lentamente, guarda en su valija gris.
Rodolfo García, drum player of the band, and Luis Alberto Spinetta recall the way they decided the incorporation of the first bandoneon in rock history.
Los arreglos eran en general ideas nuestras.
The arrangements were, in general, our ideas. That, as we did not know how to write music, we asked Rodolfo Alchurón to do it. The bandoneon was a constant source of inspiration. It was not only Piazzolla who inspired us. It was Troilo and others, all of them geniuses. But the incorporation of a bandoneon in There, Laura Goes, I think it was Alchurón's idea.
Que se le ocurrió al churrón.
Laura ve, los años le han dado la resignación y el dolor.
The Almendra record admits direct influence of the Beatles, and as Spinetta himself attests, There, Laura Goes recognizes its relation with the song She's Leaving Home by the British Quartet, especially regarding the lyrics and the orchestra arrangements.
Laura, pobre tu dolor, se cayó de una oración, por eso te vas con él, por eso te vas, y hay algo de bueno en tus ojos, sin creer.
Thank you.
La valija pesa y él le ayuda a entrar en el tren. La cubre de besos y el sol también.
Consulting many years after the recording about which his favorite song was in the disc, three of the musicians said, "These sad men." Let's listen to it now.
Nacieron viento, déjalos correr. Y si tus manos con las plantas, déjalas crecer. Vive de azul, porque azul no tienes dominio.
RAE, Argentina to the World, presented Almendra, foundational and essential record of Argentine rock.
Andando duerme, espera el día, sola en su cuarto. Anna quiere jugar, Anna no duerme.
Production, Julieta Galván.
Juega con nada.
Edition, Matías Herreza Igor. The Voice, Miriam Turcula.
We have played this feature on the debut album of Almendra, self-titled Almendra, voiced by my friend and former colleague Miriam Turcula, who recorded all these series before retiring back in 2018. Amazing, it's going to be 7 years since she stopped retired and stopped being a member of RAE every day. But it's always a pleasure to bring back from the archives these pieces with her voice. Well, but we played this feature today because it's the anniversary of the release of this historic seminal album, Almendra, released exactly 55 years ago on November 29, 1969. Coming up, a feature on the city of Buenos Aires' main sites and tourist attractions.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, 阿根廷面向世界。 RAE, Argentine vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
The final foundation of Buenos Aires was carried out by Juan de Garay on the present Plaza de Mayo, which has always been the essential center of the country's public affairs. During the colonial period, Plaza de Mayo was the civic and commercial heart of the city, constantly transited by authorities, businessmen, military men, and common people. It was also the place where criminals condemned to death were killed, and during the civil wars, the official scenery for many public executions. At all times, Plaza de Mayo has been the venue of mass meetings and demonstrations to celebrate as well as to support or criticize governments of different political parties. The plaza, which covers 2 hectares, underwent several modifications over time. Its present design dates back to 1900, when it was remodeled by the landscape designer Carlos Thays. In its center stands the first monument ever erected in Argentina, the Pirámide de Mayo, the May Pyramid, built to commemorate the first anniversary of the May Revolution. Originally, it was a simple hollow obelisk, 15 meters high, crowned by a ball as shown in old engravings and watercolors. Its present appearance is the result of changes made in 1857. It is around 19 meters high and encloses the first pyramid from 1811. It is topped by the Statue of Liberty, which shows a quiet attitude and broken chains at her feet, but is ready for defense, with a lance in the right hand and a shield resting on the left. The other monument on the square is dedicated to General Manuel Belgrano, creator of the national flag. Its pedestal is united by a granite surface to the mast where the flag waves. When the sun sets, the flag is lowered by a group of soldiers from the historic regiment Granaderos a Caballo, which, as custodians of the president of the nation, are responsible for guarding the neighboring government house. The central government headquarters are located in the so-called Casa Rosada, built on the site once occupied by the Fort of Buenos Aires, seat of governors and viceroys during the Spanish domain. Its history is rich in refurbishing and additions, but its present aspect is the result of joining 2 buildings separated by a passageway. Towards 1886, they were integrated by a large central arch. The building, with its characteristic pink color, combines great quantity of dissimilar architectural elements. Although its 4 fronts are different, the construction looks sober and attractive. Works carried out during recent years enabled the discovery of remnants from the original fort and the old customs warehouse on the sector facing the river. It is interesting to visit them, as well as the Museum of Precedents, located in the basement of the building. On the northern side of the square is the monumental neoclassical facade of the Metropolitan Cathedral. It was built on the ground indicated by the founder, Juan de Garay, but it is the 7th church built on that site. The first ones, made of mud and straw, deteriorated, being replaced by others, which in turn suffered damages, collapsed, and were demolished. The construction of the present cathedral was initiated in 1745. Its front, with columns which symbolize the 12 apostles, and a tympanum with a low relief producing the arrival of Jacob in Egypt, was finished in 1862. But the interior of the building continued to be modified. To its religious importance, the church adds the historical and aesthetic meaning of images, carvings, and sculptures that are framed by altars, cornices, ornaments, and paintings of a remarkable artistic value. One of the best examples is the tabernacle where the Holy Sacrament is shown in an exceptional work of art made of gold and silver, which is more than 2 meters long and weighs 110 kilos. On the front of the cathedral, attention is drawn by the Great Burner, where a flame burns forever. It is a memorial in homage to the greatest hero of Argentina, General José de San Martín, whose remains are in a mausoleum located in the interior of the church, and to the unknown soldier of the independence. Next to the cathedral and facing the Casa Rosada is the historical building which Argentines cherish most, the Metropolitan Cabildo, unmistakable for its colonial architecture, its whiteness, and its tower with a clock. It witnessed the May Revolution of 1810 that initiated the birth of Argentina and the collapse of the Spanish Empire in South America. The first Cabildo was built in 1609, but the final building was started in 1725. It had 2 floors and 11 arcades, making it 60 meters wide. In colonial times, its members met weekly in this building to take administrative, financial, construction, and judicial decisions related to Buenos Aires and its jurisdiction. During the independent period, it became the site of justice, and towards 1880, the modernizing fever caught Buenos Aires and led to the modification of its tower and its front. Afterwards, the opening of the Avenida de Mayo forced the demolition of 3 arcades on the northern side, and the diagonal Roque Sanz Peña eliminated another 3 in the southern part. Deprived of its tower, with only half of its original width and an Italian-style front, it was on the verge of completely disappearing. But in 1940, a conscientious restoration was initiated. The result was the present building. Narrower than the colonial one, it was rebuilt exactly as it looked in the 18th century. The museum inside exhibits plans, paintings, weapons, furniture, and other objects related to the building, plus the May Revolution and the British invasions, which Buenos Aires repelled in 1806 and 1807. Avenida de Mayo is the first luxury Buenos Aires could afford. Its opening in 1889 marked the end of the colonial city and the birth of a cosmopolitan and prosperous metropolis that attracted numerous immigrants. Born nearby the historical Cabildo, it symbolically connects the Casa del Gobierno with the Palacio del Congreso along 10 blocks flanked by buildings having a remarkably rich architecture. Since its inauguration, Avenida de Mayo has always been the place where elected presidents greet the people after assuming office, on their way from the National Congress to the Casa Rosada. The presence of enthusiastic crowds on such occasions has become customary. It also forms part of the itinerary followed by foreign authorities visiting the country. The tall buildings show the eclectic splendor of all styles, from the lively grace of Art Nouveau and the exuberance of the Italian Neo-Renaissance, to the geometric styles of Art Deco and the variances of Neoclassicism and Baroque. In its construction, a whole generation of professionals participated, mostly of European background. They applied the latest technologies of the time, characterized by the use of iron, electric power, and even elevators, together with the noble bronze and the traditional marble. Famous cafes and restaurants open their doors, and top-level hotels, luxurious shops, and large stores prospered on both sides. At that time, Buenos Aires dreamt of becoming the Paris of South America. But Avenida de Mayo clearly reminds us of the Gran Via de Madrid. To walk along the avenue at leisure, observing details enables the visitor to appreciate facades of great ornamental richness. Sculptures, flower pots, atlantes, and caryatids supporting corbels and balconies, friezes decorated with angels and cherubs, or modillions and moldings full of female and male masks make the tour into an attractive experience. On the 800 block is the Gran Café Tortoni. Founded in 1848, it is the most antique cafe of Buenos Aires and the first one to have outdoor cafes in the summer. It is a traditional gathering place for artists, journalists, musicians, and writers. And its large room, decorated in the early century style, exhibits numerous pictures and paintings in honor of former customers. It centralizes a diverse cultural activity. Poetry readings, as well as jazz and tango shows, take place in the basement. Regarding buildings, very few stand out as much as the Barolo. The architectural mass is treated as if it were a piece of sculpture, rising on the avenida with the grandeur of a fortress. Constructed in 1923, the 100-meter-high building was once the tallest in the city, with 24 floors, each with a different form. Its architect, Mario Palante from Milan, conceived all at monumental scale, as can be observed walking through the passage by which the Barolo connects Avenida de Mayo with the street Hipólito Yrigoyen. The passage has arcades covering three levels. From the vaults, engraved Latin aphorisms invite to reflection. The decorated floor has large glass flowers, and from the ceiling hangs a group of enormous chandeliers. Fantastic creatures sustain lamps of exuberant size. Talking about lights, however, nothing surpasses the enormous revolving beacon which crowns the building. 300,000 candles make it visible from Montevideo, Uruguay. The mass of the Barolo displays its sensual greatness at a short distance from the Plaza del Congreso. And when observed in detail, it is difficult not to get lost in the labyrinth drawn by its concrete curve. Avenida de Mayo ends at Plaza del Congreso, an open space of great hierarchy. It was constructed in 1910 to allow the right perspective to the monumental building where the sessions of the Chambers of Deputies and of Senators, the legislative power, take place. This square has one of the most artistic statues in the city, El Pensador, the Thinker, of Auguste Rodin, and a large monument formed by several groups of sculptures and various figures in bronze. It is a homage to the two congresses that set the basis on which Argentina was founded. The Assembly of 1813 and the Congress that declared independence in 1816. The central motif is the image of the Republic overcoming obstacles and reaching prosperity. It is accompanied by allegories of youth and genius, children rounds and animal figures, especially condors, ready to initiate their majestic flight. All of them are distributed among grand stairs, columns, and balustrades. The group is complemented by a large fountain with a four-horse carriage and the representation of rivers Paraná and Uruguay, pouring their waters into a pool. The whole environment is dominated by the Congress building, a clear combination of Greek and Roman styles, which began to be constructed in 1898 on a design by architect Victor Miano, rich in ornamental details of bronze, granite, and marble. Its majestic structure is crowned by a great dome built with engraved bronze. On the southern part of the Plaza de Mayo begin the neighborhoods of San Telmo and Montserrat. Limits once precise, but have lost definition for the porteños of today, who gave them the generic name of Barrio Sur, the southern neighborhood. Since the colonial city was developed there, the area is the oldest of Buenos Aires, as evidenced by its old houses and numerous churches. The modern buildings have not diluted the ancient charm of the patios, the shadowy corridors, and the iron filigree of balconies. Many of those houses belonged to distinguished families until a terrible yellow fever epidemic, which devastated the city in 1871, provoked a massive exodus of the richest to the northern part of the city. The spacious houses were then partitioned and subdivided, giving origin to the conventillo, a name given to tenement houses where thousands of immigrant families shared their needs with the poorest local population. It was in that environment that the tango developed. The area constitutes today one of the most charming itineraries of the city, taking advantage of its old features, antique shops, restaurants, and tangerias. San Telmo created an active nightlife. There are galleries entirely devoted to the sale of souvenirs, antiques, and curious objects. Every Sunday at the small Plaza Dorrego in the heart of San Telmo, there is a fascinating fair of antiques, curious objects, and artisan works, enriched by the presence of outdoor musicians and dancers who play and dance tango for local and foreign visitors. Another corner where the charm of the old Buenos Aires can be appreciated is the neighborhood of La Boca, which was born as a sort of independent settlement around the small port to become later, towards 1880, a colony of Genovese immigrants. With high sidewalks to protect the houses from the frequent floods affecting the area in the past, its streets run between houses made of wood and sheet metal, painted with vivid colors. Two enormous bridges over the Riachuelo dominate the sky of La Boca from above. The dark profile of the old transporter bridge, true representative of the iron architecture, is an irresistible temptation for those who love the art of photography. The presence of old naval stores, warehouses, and shipyards, complemented by ships out of service, anchored in the oily Riachuelo, take the visitor back to 1940. The landscape and its protagonists were shown by the paintings of various artists, but none reached the level of Benito Quinquela Martín, whose sensitivity reflected the life of La Boca and vigorously promoted his cultural activities. The school museum, Pedro de Mendoza, was built on land donated by the painter. In that building, there is a theater and a museum of fine arts with works of numerous artists. On the third floor, Quinquela Martín lived and worked during more than 30 years, and some of his most important paintings are exhibited there. Walking along the street Caminito, it is possible to appreciate the significance of artworks as an expression of the spirit of this neighborhood. Caminito is a diagonal street, used to be crossed by trains of the now closed-down cargo railway. Sculptures and mural paintings are exhibited. Painters and artisans offer their works to the public with a colorful frame of the neighboring houses. That passage received the name Caminito, pays tribute to one of the best-known tangos by Juan de Dios Filberto. It is therefore quite natural to play and dance tango there, even with visitors who get involved. Visitors can very soon realize that although in Buenos Aires there are restaurants satisfying all tastes and habits, the Italian and Spanish influence on the gastronomy of the porteños is very strong. And they will be certainly surprised by the high figures of beef consumption. At present, Argentines are in the process of diversifying their diet, but they continue to be the greatest beef consumers in the world. This becomes easier to understand after visiting a parrilla and looking at the variety of cuts and derivatives being grilled with firewood or coal. Porteños also love to prepare asado at home, and cherish to imagine a sunny Sunday chatting with friends or relatives while the beef is grilled on the barbecue installed on the yard or the balcony, completing the party with one of the delicious red wines produced in the country. To prepare and eat the asado is a sort of ceremony, and the same happens with the mate, the other great national custom. Mate, a type of herbal tea, is taken in the family with friends and among work companions. And it is mandatory to invite the newcomer. To heat water, put the yerba in the mate, a gourd, place a metal type of straw in the correct way, and invite those present following a formal order is a ritual that was already practiced in Buenos Aires even before Argentina was born. So old is the custom that mates and bombillas are among the most remarkable pieces of handicraft produced by colonial silver and goldsmiths. Competing with them, only knives, which constituted the typical instrument and weapon of the gauchos and natives of Buenos Aires. Anyone can verify that on the walls of Buenos Aires, there is an army of creatures watching the passers-by. There are thousands of faces fixed on doors, lintels, and facades whose immutable expression is only altered by the different incidents of light. They may be masculine and severe, or feminine and delicate, of classical style or stylized modernism, peaceful and happy or terribly furious, very often repeated on adjacent windows or located in cement medallions in cameo style. Devils, chimeras, and mythological creatures with claws and membranous wings are also present in many buildings, revealing the tormented creativity of some molding designers. For relief of sensitive spirits, their presence is surpassed by the number of celestial armies represented by angels and cherubs. They appear around modillions, displayed the plenitude on their innocent beauty on the frames of windows, or play and frolic in merry congregation. Animals also participate in the ornamental contest without omitting genders or species. Parrots pecking fruit at balconies, serpents slithering up the walls, snails traveling over the fronts, and even enormous bees sitting on the upper part of doors. Eagles and condors display the power of the winged world supporting corbels and balconies. But if there is an animal that Buenos Aires has adopted as decorative pet, it is the lion. It may appear discouraging any ill-intended moderner with a fierce expression. Sometimes it decorates a locket, holding a ring with its fauces. It is common to find them with forcibly human expression, occasionally laughing openly, and at times trapped in human boredom. They can even be found sleeping, resembling shirking cats rather than jungle beasts. As time passed, the ornamental fever, which invaded the architecture of Buenos Aires from 1870 to 1930, became an exceptional entertainment for those who take pleasure in discovering details and imagining stories. To intensely enjoy this activity, it is only necessary to walk slowly around the city, watching the building fronts carefully. Buenos Aires shows its most cosmopolitan aspect in the city, a name given to the 12 blocks located between the streets Rivadavia, Corrientes, Florida, and 25 de Mayo. The concentration of banks, financial offices, exchange brokers, and business corporations is the largest in the country. The area has numerous buildings with modern architecture designed to offer an image of opulence and solidity. The banking and financial bustle typical of this sector, crowded by rushing people, becomes commercial activity in the nearby Florida, the first pedestrian thoroughfare of Buenos Aires. Plants, flower shops, bookstores, music shops, kiosks selling national and foreign publications, art galleries, leather shops, and other elegant boutiques are characteristic of Florida. It has always been a sort of international window for Argentina, and its numerous shopping malls compete offering all kinds of novelties within a casual and attractive framework. The Galerías Pacífico, located at the 700 area of Florida, with access from four different streets, are one of the most traditional and, at the same time, most updated places in Buenos Aires. They date back to the end of the 19th century, when there was a project to build a center that would surpass the Galerías Vittorio Emanuel of Milan. The works were partially carried out, and the installations became successively a cultural center, fine arts museum, office building, and commercial center. Their present appearance is the result of recycling, which modernized them entirely, preserving their rich ornamentation and increased the value of the exceptional paintings on the ceiling. The central dome, divided in sectors corresponding to each one of the four entrances, was painted by Antonio Berni, Lino Enea Spilimbergo, Juan Carlos Castanino, and Demetrio Urrochua. These frescoes and mural paintings are the most important of Argentina. The Galerias are today a large shopping mall, extending to three levels connected by stairs, corridors, and escalators. They have more than 150 shops, including tea shops, cinemas, and restaurants. A vast sector devoted to cultural activities has special rooms for training courses, art exhibitions, conferences, and artistic shows.
And that was part two of this very good documentary on Buenos Aires City's many tourist attractions, Dear Buenos Aires. Next week, we'll continue with part three. Let's do the headlines and sign off. Lawmakers fail to debate a proposal to bar convicted candidates from elections. The government considers eliminating gender quotas for public jobs. Brazilian President Lula asserts there was an attempted coup against him. Venezuelan opposition claims Argentina's embassy in Caracas remains under police blockade. Argentina will export gas to Brazil using Bolivian pipelines. Sports: Lionel Messi, along with other Argentines, is nominated again for the FIFA's The Best Awards. And with that, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, which was operated by sound technician Sergio Ríos and hosted by yours truly, Fernando Farias. We hope you enjoyed today's program. Thank you for listening. Have an excellent weekend, and why don't you join us on Monday for a new program of RAE. Ciao. Hasta luego.